is an early morning. I really appreciate the opportunity to do these workshops, to have opportunity just to listen and talk and review. And so thank you all for coming out so early in the morning. We are missing two council members. Jacob was unable to be here. Dale is not feeling well this morning, so was unable to make it at the last minute. So but they do have the opportunity, due to the live stream, to get to follow up with and listen. So as we do have the tradition of opening in prayer, and I've asked Natalie if she would do that for us this morning.
Our Father in Heaven, we are so grateful for the opportunity we have to meet together as a city, as leaders in our community, to discuss the business and to be able to come up with new ideas and to be able to meet the needs of our citizens. And Father, we ask Thee that those in our community that are struggling, that they will have their needs met and that they will be able to strive in our community and that they will be able to find new avenues and ways where they can get their needs met, and that we as leaders in this community can make sure that we're looking out for them and that we will know what their needs are and that we can accommodate accordingly. Father, we ask Thee as we come together today to collaborate that our minds will be open and that we will be able to have good discussions and be able to make good decisions. And we're so thankful for the leaders here and for everyone in our community. And we say these things in the name of my Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Natalie. Okay, roll call.
Rodriguez?
I'm here.
Berner?
Here.
Tango?
Here.
Reynolds? Absent. Howerton?
Here.
And Bauer? Absent.
Thank you. I just wanted to do a couple of updates this morning before we get into our new business. And the first one is that there has been an initiative for quite some time to get Amtrak services back into the Treasure Valley. And currently, really, Elaine Clegg is representing the Treasure Valley and has attended a lot of meetings on this. We've been engaged at different points. There is a letter that we both emailed to you and you have on the bench this morning that is one that the city of Boise is going to ask the other local communities to sign on to. And I just wanted to mention it to the council. I didn't put it in as an action item, but I guess let me know if you have any concerns. There is a meeting in Billings, Montana, next week. I am not attending that meeting, but I am going to attend a meeting here in Boise that will take place the following morning with Amtrak in town with the other communities represented. There's two initiatives. One is to reinstate the Pioneer line, which is a much broader, you know, it's out of Denver, and it's the full distance to Portland and Seattle area. There's a different one that is being considered, which is encouraging us to just reinstate a Salt Lake to Boise rail just as an initial because we can get it done quicker. The other one's probably a good 10 years out. It takes a long time, these initiatives. So this isn't anything that's going to happen fast. It's just with the funding that's coming at the federal level to Amtrak to increase their coverage. The goal is that we reinstate this kind of coverage that used to be here. I think it was pulled out in 97, maybe, was a year. And so, you can't even say it here, but anyway. So, are there any concerns, comments, thoughts?
So, Mayor, is this meant to be for a replacement for the Valley Ride Regional back and forth to Boise as well? Or not?
No, that's a very separate initiative, which is light rail. There's the discussion about light rail, but this is passenger rail that would take us just the standard Amtrak services.
Yeah.
So a different initiative.
Sure.
Yeah, it takes the federal and the state really to get behind it, and it's just communities saying we would like to have that rail back, which would be nice, but it's costly. If there are any concerns, let me know. The other one thing I wanted to update the council on were the downtown Christmas lights. We have some funding that we were was set aside for downtown that the council approved that we allocate towards lighting. We also had some Republic Services funds that the council also approved allocating to downtown for Christmas lighting. The project, you know, as you dig into it, it's always bigger than you think. And the one area that is that I wasn't aware of, but am now, the historic buildings have to have flashing on them. So the cost of the lights is one thing. The flashing is actually the most expensive part. So every building will have to have this flashing to keep it protecting the whatever, the if it's brick or whatever, from the actual lights touching it. And then the electrical hookup, which we know.
So by flashing, do you mean metal?
Yes. Okay. It's a form of a flashing, and I don't. There may be another product rather than just metal that would protect.
Not a flashing light, but just...
Yes. Roof, like a roof. Yeah. Flashing, but it protects the historic buildings. So we're in the process. That it would have been nice to have gotten this done this year. I don't think it's going to get done this year. We did have to reach out to all the building owners, and a lot of building owners have responded and are supportive. We've got a few that haven't responded yet. So it's just a process that takes a while. So I just wanted council to know that we are working on it. It's just taking longer than expected, and it is definitely going to be more expensive than expected. There will probably be an ask, and I think it was mentioned yesterday at the NDC meeting, to see if NDC would like to help, and they're also going to be looking for sponsors to come alongside downtown to help with this. So.
Mary, so how much do you think it's going to be? How much more?
Well, I don't know. You know, at least $100,000 to maybe $200,000 more.
Oh, really?
So it's a lot, because just the lights alone, the bid that came in, I think the total bid was pressing $200,000 for all of the downtown area. So we were going to phase it. Yeah. So it's expensive. So we just need partnerships and.
Is it historical? Were there businesses in it? They were approached as far as the flashing part of it, maybe to cover those costs?
The businesses have been reached out to, but we just, in the last 2 weeks, became aware of the flashing and the cost of that.
It's still new.
It's still new, and so I just wanted you guys to know it's in process, but the likelihood of having them up for Christmas is slim, unless we just get a couple things done. So
that's too bad.
Yeah. But it's coming. You know what? It's going to get there. It's just taking. It takes a while. So the other, just item that I wanted to mention to council was that when I did not fill the director of workforce development position, we just promoted internally and to a director of HR. The workforce development position is an appointed position. And so I just wanted to mention that to council to think about if we could certainly make the HR director appointed if you guys would like to. IT is not appointed. We do have certain positions that are appointed by state statute. Those are not positions that are. So I just wanted to mention to you all to be thinking about it, and we can have a discussion at a later time if you would like to regarding appointments. We will need to update our ordinance. We've got a name change for finance. Instead of director of finance, it's the chief financial officer. And I think, and then, so if we do make an ordinance change, we may talk about whether we leave workforce development in there or take it out. So.
Anyway. I'm sorry.
Yes.
No, I think it would be easier if, in those non-appointed by council positions, you just go for it. I mean, it would take a lot of time away from us to having to decide and look and review. I think that's up to your discretion, I would think.
Well, thank you. I go through a process, but right. The internal promotion isn't quite the same as...
Right.
Even though we posted the position, we had a number of candidates, made the decision to promote internally, because I do fully believe in that opportunity to promote internally. And as you all know, and you've heard about that, and I've shared with our team, I'm really excited about where HR is. And Marissa, who's just right here, her continuing the work she's been doing, she's already been doing the work, and we have a really good team. I am thrilled with where we are with our HR department. I think it's in a good place. So.
Well, I didn't fill out my paperwork right, and Maritha came through, so we're good. Thank you.
That's good. That was all. I wanted to just update the council on those three items. Is there anything else that you guys have questions on that you can think of that you...
No, Mayor, years ago, Delsa used to go to, and her grandma, who didn't have a car, to Salt Lake City on the railway, on the Amtrak. And that really helped a lot of people. And right now, that's the booming thing, is the Amtrak. That's a good way to travel now. So if the numbers show positive, I'd like to just look at it and say, let's do it. That's a great idea. Especially with the gas prices, they're so terrible right now. That would be an alternative. But my mother goes to Salt Lake, and she uses she's 92, and she uses that shuttle bus that goes from here to the Salt Lake City Airport every day.
Wow.
It goes up and back, and I don't like her on that. I wish I could get her on the Amtrak and just take a straight shot. So I'm very interested in this. I would love to see that. So go for it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, so that concludes any updates, and we'll move on to new business this morning. So our first item of business is a discussion. This is the planning and zoning, presenting two potential concepts for feedback on the state Highway 16 corridor study. Thank you, Rodney.
Sorry about that. Mark and I were competing on the Teams device. Mayor and Council, as you're aware, we were a little bit surprised about the speed at which State Highway 16 was going to start construction, and they got federal funding that helped them to move forward at a much quicker pace than we'd anticipated, which meant that we needed to move pretty quickly to think about land use around State Highway 16 in our impact area. And it also meant that because State Highway 16 has limited access, or will have significant limited access, how do we ensure that we have the routes, the transportation routes to the north, that will allow people to access these properties so that they can develop and they can be accessed. Just case in point, if there was a desire to have commercial development or industrial development, the desire is to have a pretty quick access to the freeway or to State Highway 16. So if we don't have a collector road or an arterial road alongside State Highway 16, it would be very difficult for them to get access there. So our team got together, led by Doug Critchfield and Brianna Sun in our team. They put a lot of work into this, and we hired JUB engineers to help us with this process. And we've done outreach to property owners and to the general public, and we will continue to do so, and I'll share some of that today. But today I wanted to highlight where we're at and essentially go through what we are presenting to the public on Monday. We're going to be opening this up to the public on Monday. And we want your feedback on this. I will be sending out an email to you in the next few days to give you access to this website. There's a survey on it, and you can participate on an online map. So I'll just kind of walk you through that. But today I'll just walk you through that. But if there's anything you see today as a group that you feel like we need to adjust, we appreciate your feedback so that when we go live on Monday that we've got exactly what you feel comfortable with. Okay, so here's the story map that everyone will see when they go to this website. I'm sure you've seen these story maps. You can scroll through and see different diagrams and pictures. So that's what I'll do today, is I'll just kind of scroll through. At the top of the screen, there's these bars. I can look down here. At the top of the screen, there's these bars, and you can jump forward to the next page just by clicking on those bars. And that will stay at the top of the page no matter how far down I scroll. So what is the specific plan? We just provide a quick overview of what that means, show you some examples of some other plans we've done in the city, and then give you a couple of links to, one, to the City of Nampa's Comprehensive Plan, and then to the Northeast Nampa Gateway Specific Plan, which did cover some of the area we're going to look at, firstly, Highway 16. And then in the orange here, we just point out that we're looking for their public involvement and kind of encouraging them to continue to scroll down so they can participate. So this is where it gets a little more fun, as why this is specific to State Highway 16. You can click here for the ITD's website for State Highway 16 to get specifics about that corridor and that plan. But this slide is for our existing conditions. And you can actually, if you click on here, you'll be able to see the entire study area. So you can see that there. Ustick is on the top. McDermott is on the east. And then this is Robinson and Starr. Okay. And this is kind of halfway between Robinson and Starr and Idaho Center on the west and north of the railroad tracks. So this is the area we're looking at. Again, there's lots of... disappeared. There it is. There's lots of ability to... If you can't make anything work on the website, you can click on a link and it'll take you to a PDF or another site with just the map on it. We've identified existing conditions plus the visions and goals of this project. So that's just to get them started, to let them know, okay, here's the situation we're in, here's why we're doing it. Then we go over the process and we highlight where we've been, what we've done already, a lot of coordination we've had with other cities and with ITD. They've attended our stakeholder meetings. They've attended our steering committee and the workshop, the open house that we held. And then if you come down here to phase two, we're at the bottom of phase two. After all the input we've received, the steering committee's direction, we drafted some concepts that we'd like to present to you today. And then following this concept, we will draft the plan, the narrative, and the final map. And then the steering committee will meet in October. Our public hearings, we're anticipating to be November for planning and zoning, and December for City Council. Okay, so that's where we're at. Here, we wanted to create a couple of fairly simple things that the public, as part of their participation, they can be involved, they can provide input, and it's going to be impactful. So this first one is two different concept designs. So colors, the types of buildings, what it will look like. So you can look at these, and if I click on this, it'll zoom in. Or I can, if I remember right, I think you just click on this. And you can
can come down here and click on the specific theme. This is the traditional theme. It's a little closer view there. You can see the different styles of buildings and then the color palette down here. And this is just going to be a document that's a guidance document. So when developments come in, we're telling the developers, here's the theme we want, right? Show us what you want to do, but here's the general theme. And if they go off of this, that's possible, but we as staff will be reviewing it and making recommendations based on this document. So, and you have the ability to approve or deny it if depending on whether they have matched what we've asked them to do. Okay, so same thing for the contemporary, just a little bit different style of buildings. The rooftops are different. You can see the architectural features are a little different. The colors are different. So those, if once you've looked at those, you can come up here and you can click on this tab right here. Click here to provide input, and it'll show you, or it'll give you an opportunity to say which one you like and why. Okay, the next one are the two concepts. This is the meat of what we've been working on. This is kind of fun. You can scroll in to a certain area. If you click on the map and then you scroll in, both sides will come up for the same area. So you can compare and you can say, okay, what on this concept, concept one, it's a more of an office focus. And if I click on it, it'll bring up, this isn't showing very well on the screen. On a typical computer, I tried this at my desk, it will show this little screen that pops down at the bottom, it will show pictures of what we're describing. So in this case, it's multi-story office park, and it will, there we go. So you can see the difference between the two. So in that case, it was multi-story office park, compared to medium to high density residential. So, and this will show you a description and show you pictures of what that looks like. And you can do that for anything on the map. You can scroll around and click on it to identify what it is. Again, you can open a separate map in a new tab if there's problems. So we would encourage you, when you take this, to just kind of use this tool, move around. What makes sense? Does a greater office focus make sense? Or, excuse me, or maybe an increased residential focus makes sense? So if you move around, compare the two different concepts, then we're going to have some opportunity in the next slide to provide comments. So here's the comment map. Essentially, you click on the map, and then you can zoom in. And let's say I looked at this property and I said, it's near industrial, it's near the railroad tracks, I think that this should be industrial. I would double click on that parcel. I'd come up here and I would mark in, whoops, the mouse is having problems, but I'd mark it as industrial, then move down here and put your comment in. You can also do that for bicycle, for vehicle, There's quite a few different residential office. There's quite a few different tabs you can create. And you can see on this map, you can see other people's comments. And you can click on those and see whether, you know, in this case it's a bike. And you can see what their comment would be. So that's the first way to participate and give a comment. And then the last way is to just go through this survey. And I'll just quickly go through these questions here. What specific land use would you like to see along the south side of Ustick Road near the entrance to Hawaii High School? Select all that apply. We're trying to make this as simple as possible, but meaningful input. And then you click everything that you think should go in that area. Same thing for the next section. We just keep identifying different areas to provide input on land use. And then this question, number five, as development along I-84 evolves, what would you like to see more of along the interstate? Select all that apply. Do you want to see taller buildings, more landscaping, more windows on the buildings, multiple materials and colors on the buildings, or other? Well, what we're getting at there is what kind of design do we want to focus on, and what's important for visually along I-84?
Can I ask a question? And maybe I'm jumping ahead, but for time, when are we going to get to the land use portion? Is that in the survey where they're going to talk actual? Because this is more like on the survey, what I'm seeing is more visual, but as far as taller buildings or landscaping or whatever, but and will the council have an opportunity to come back together and review comments and give input? Or is this our opportunity, or what is the opportunity council's going to have?
So, a couple of things. So, this slide right here, who we covered, this is a land use map.
Okay. Right, so that's the opportunity that we have to give input is right there.
Yeah, you'll look at these, and then you'll make the comments on the next slide. So, in this situation, I think I showed you before, let's look at this section right here. This is industrial here on this side. This is commercial. So you're looking at two different land uses. Does that make sense? And if it does, you can leave it or make a comment. Or if it doesn't, you can get on this map, this next map here, and make a comment and say, I think this should be industrial or whatever it is.
Okay. Then we'll... Council on Planning and Zoning have an opportunity, like at the next workshop, would we have an opportunity to have an open discussion regarding this?
We could. We are limited on time right now, but my thought was that we would send this out to you in the next couple of days. You have the ability to give me comments back. You could email me, call me. You can make comments on this.
I was thinking we were going to get to do that a little bit today, so it doesn't sound like we are, but I would
like... If we have time, we can.
Okay. And I think that's really important, but maybe it needs to be in September. This closes September 14th, did I see that? Our next workshop is September 21st, I think. Because I don't know, Council, how do you feel? I feel like discussion is really important. If we just have individual, it's the coming back and forth and listening to each other's comments that is very, very valuable. And this is very important to us. So, yes, Councilman Haverfield.
Just looking at this, several questions come to mind. Is this map available on our city website?
It's not yet. It'll go live on Monday. So you'll get that. You'll get this before it goes live.
I've received several calls in the past few months as far as from developers that are looking at that north-south section of property either side of Highway 16. And looking at that, they're questioning what's available, how it will be handled by the city. I mean, so it's part of an interactive process that, you know, the development community is interested in as well. So that's why I was wondering
if this is available for the developers to look at and to give input on as well. Plus, the property owners themselves might have an interest in knowing what the overall matrix of our comp plan is calling for there and how that would fit with what they are intending, or if it's just going to stay ag ground. So
Mayor and Councilman Haverfield, so this map is based on our conversations with all those property owners. We met with a lot of property owners and the developers. And so their comments are what helped us frame what happens, what we're presenting right here on this map.
A tremendous amount of work has gone into it, to getting it to where it is today, and I think this is a really nice tool that's going to be available. So it's awesome. And thank you for the comment and then the response, because it's important, for council to know that this process has included the landowners, the developers. Like you said, ITD's been involved in it. It's been a very collaborative process that's brought us to today. And then I just would like to have an opportunity maybe for a little bit of discussion with planning and zoning and city council to where we can talk about it before we end up in that final approval process, if possible.
It is a little challenging, just my opinion here, but it is a little challenging for us to have this discussion if you haven't been able to zoom in on areas that you're concerned about. And so it seems like it might be appropriate for us to send this out to you. You get really familiar. You write your concerns down, your comments down. And then, like you said, maybe we meet one more time and have a collaborative meeting to go over what everybody's comfortable with. That can take place at the public hearing, but if you want to do it beforehand, we could do a workshop.
Mayor, question, just clarification.
Always need lots of clarification.
So we have the landowners, developers, staff have developed this, what you're putting out by it.
And we have a open house as well.
Right. What I'm saying is what we're seeing today that's going to go live, that is the foundation of that is developer, landowners,
staff. Exactly.
And a public open house. The public was invited to an open house to give input. So it has the public.
So I guess get down to the nitty gritty. So overall, I'm seeing kind of traditional, even on the landscaping and the finishes and so on, but on the land use itself, I'm seeing kind of two different things. You said industrial here, where are these folks that have already looked at this so closely? Where have they landed? Are they divided? That's why there's two concepts here, or what are we looking at?
So there,
what I'm saying is, why is there just not not one map, and then a person puts on that? Why are we looking at two different?
Good question.
Okay.
So Mayor and Council, the reason is because there were differences of opinion. Even amongst the people who attended the open house, amongst
developers, in your people, there will be too. I'm just people to me, professionals, not maybe so much the landowners. They decide what's going to be best for them, but the developers and you folks, and of course whatever public, that to me is who you need to really scrutinize or look at the most, because that's who I want to listen to.
And I would say that there's probably not as significant of changes as you would expect between these two. There's just a little more emphasis on residential, on concept two, and a little more emphasis on office, on concept one. But you'll see a lot of similarities here. They didn't look at, they weren't identifying specific parcels in order to say, should this be commercial or should this be industrial? Okay. They're saying this concept or this area needs to have commercial and industrial. So then staff and developers get together, our consultant gets together, and we say, okay, what makes sense? Let's look at utilities, let's look at what's in the area already, and then we come up with some concepts. And So if you're more comfortable with us going back to the drawing board and putting one concept forward for that workshop, I think that's fine. And we may have a really good sense of where that should go based on public input when we make this live for the public.
Well, for me personally, that would be, and for Victor and myself, anyone over 65 or whatever, then
big letters.
That sounds good.
So Ron Van Auker had a comment on Teams, and it was, how much public participation have you had from the community throughout the process, and is staff satisfied with the level of participation generally?
This is another great question. So the challenge with this area is it's mostly farmland that's owned by actually not that many organizations. Not that many entities. So we do our public open house and we advertise it, we try to get the word out, and not a lot of people showed up to the public open house. And I think that may make sense just because it's not necessarily in anybody's backyard, right? They're not concerned about it as much as we are. But we did do an open house. We created this story map for the public involvement. After that open house didn't get a lot of participation, we created this in order to try to get the word out as much as possible. Amy's been really helpful in the mayor's office to kind of help guide us on how to get word out better for this story map for participation. And we are even looking at putting signs up along the roadways out there to say, hey, participate by making your ideas known on this survey and story map. So we're not satisfied with the public involvement that we've had so far, but this is part of that, to go out to the public and make sure that we're doing our very best to get public.
And Mayor, and I mean, this is, we all know this, but when public, I mean, I think this is great. I know you've done so much work, Amy, et cetera. But people are not, maybe I'm being a little negative here. I think it's personally reality. People aren't going to start getting involved until they find out what's coming in within a quarter mile of them or whatever the case is, once they see a concept, actually what is being proposed. Yeah. That's when they're going to yay, nay, or we're going to hear from them. I mean, just like every public hearing. I mean, it's not where they've come to us 2 years before we see a development that wants to go, you know, in their backyard. It's when it's actually proposed is when we see it. So, I mean, to me, I realize the time and so on, but it's important to put something out there. But I think the expectation should not be real high. And I personally don't like you guys putting in all of this time trying to reach out to the public. Once you've done it, open house, do this, and then let's get on with the business and actually see what you as the experts are proposing and let us know.
Yes. Amy?
May I?
Yeah.
You're a little taller than I am, right? I'm just really excited about this. I mean, this is historic for our community, right? This type of development, regardless if it stays agricultural or what the landowners decide to do, this is really awesome. I just have to say props to Ronnie and the team at JUV, because this is really a significant deep dive. And what I loved about this is that they've taken a really complicated thing and tried to make it easier for the public. So we do have landowners and developers that are going to have their own tier of suggestions. But this provides a way for the average person to also kind of give smaller areas of feedback. So the attempt is being made to create ways for the community to respond wherever they're comfortable, but I think it's a really important ask, and I'm really just thankful for Ronnie and the team to make this happen. And we are exploring, I don't know if you have feedback on doing signs on the roadway, because we talked about doing a mass mailing, which is really expensive. Even if you put it in the utility bills, not a lot of people open them. And so I don't think it's really a good use of of funds. And so this was a thought that we had to kind of think outside the box, try something different, work with our streets team possibly to keep the cost low, but still provide the outreach. So,
Amy, when you send your newsletter, I think, what's your distribution on that?
The mayor's newsletter is about 2,000. Next door is just under 30,000.
And so those are two avenues that you use on a regular basis. And so this will go out through Nextdoor, through the newsletter. And it's, I love it when I have people say, yep, they're reading that newsletter. And so when this will be in that, so I think there'll be a good reach. It is difficult, but as Amy just said, and I fully agree, we have a wonderful opportunity right now to really frame what our community looks like. Because this will be a new corridor and a new thing for Nampa. So I think it's such a great opportunity and a big responsibility for us today as we identify what the design standards and what really we're looking for. And I know my concern was that we had too much industrial along here. So, but I think, I just appreciate the work that's been done. So,
also shout out to police because they, I don't know what you're talking about, but the Officer Pepper helped get some drone footage. So the thought was I can try to create a visual so people can see. And then hopefully that will bring them into this website.
So Mayor, can we expand this just to the whole, whether it's the whole impact area or the city of Napa, so people can look at just more than, I realize we're focusing on this, but is this a start to where, I would love it for the citizens, maybe it'll be 10 years before something comes their way, but if they have a open several acres around their property that they can at least put input, of course most of them will probably say keep it just as it is, but still, I mean, is this something that we can...
Yeah, we are definitely looking at that for all our mid-level plans. We are trying to get into the details of a specific area so that we can focus on that area and say, hey, get involved. Let's look at some land use and give us input for the area that you live in.
I get a newsletter from Amy or whatever, and it says, hey, what do you think about this? And I say, well, hey, that's just a mile from me. Then all of a sudden my interest jumps.
Yeah.
But yeah. There again, this is so important. As a council, we know how important it is. But if I'm a regular citizen and I'm 15 or 10 miles from this, I realistically, I don't think I'm going to get involved. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we've got another comment, and then we're at a quarter to eight, and we have two more items. I just want to make sure our time, we track it. So this is Brett Miller, and he said he agrees with Councilman Bruner. Public needs to have an opportunity, but our focus shouldn't be solely on facing, I'm not sure what that word is, I'm sorry, I can't see it.
Forcing,
thank you, them to participate. So utilize that time to work with professionals to form and shape the plan. So thank you, Brett, for that comment. I appreciate those that are online making comments. But thank you for the opportunity to see the comments here. So let's just leave it in case another one comes. So thank you. So, Rodney, what else did you have for this morning on this topic?
I think that's it. You can look through the survey. There's just a couple more questions that we didn't go over, but... You can view that survey, and frankly, I don't feel like this was, even if we don't get a lot of participation on the public side of this story map, I don't think it was a wasted effort because it helped us put it all in one place, right? All of the information that we've reviewed and and are presenting into one place, so you can see this. And Planning and Zoning Commission can see it pretty clearly and easily. So I don't think it's wasted effort, but I agree that the public involvement, sometimes you can only do so much, and they'll never be able to look back on this project and say, you didn't try to get public involvement.
Right.
We did our best to get their involvement, and we move forward.
So. Mayor, please.
Yes.
If I could just make one comment. I was on Highway 16 last week. I was going to River Birch Golf Course, and at Highway 2026, 80 counties are already building major retail at every major intersection. And the thought that I was thinking of was, well, are we behind the eight ball? Going to be having to catch up to what 80 counties doing, Meridian and Star, and along that corridor. And then the other thought was, well, yeah, it's mixed. It's mixed because when you build those community malls, I guess I'll call them, people will live around it, so it'd be a subdivision. So it's a mixed use. So I'm wondering if we're going to be able to do the same thing or follow the trade, because we're losing if we don't, I think.
Mayor, Council, so this project only goes up to USIC. However, the mid-level plan that we are doing for North Tampa all the way up to the river includes Chinden, or 2026, as a part of that. And we have done some serious looking at what Meridian has done and what Caldwell is planning to do. And we definitely have identified specific areas that we need to have commercial along that corridor. There are a few challenges because of access that IT is going to be limiting access, but we are working through that and trying to create some frontage roads along Chinden so that, I keep saying Chinden, I used to work right off of Chinden, so 2026. Yeah. So yeah, we're definitely working closely with Meridian and with ITD to identify what can be done on those parcels.
Mayor.
Yes.
Just a quick comment to echo what Amy was saying. This is an exciting tool for me to be able to share with local and regional and national developers that I've had a chance to speak to about the Valley and specifically NAMBA, because we find ourselves as being ambassadors for that effort. But I think for the Economic Development Office to be able to use this tool as well to help sell concept and the aerial idea is becoming much more popular. Developers now are using that just to document their developments for visibility purposes. So there's a lot of interactive opportunity, I think, in media today, and this is great. Now that this will be put in place, the only thing I would state is it needs to be flexible too in our approach there, because we're going to have people come in with a specialized interest area that they want to develop, whereas it might not be in line with what we're talking about. So they might want to do more housing than office or industrial, so they'll have a bent one way or the other. But I think flexibility is still key because it's a comp plan in a sense.
Thank you for that comment. Just real quickly, Robin, we'll go ahead and send this out to that developer list.
Yeah.
It just occurred to me, and you're probably thinking the same thing, but thank you. So I think we've got a number of avenues to spread the word and get this out and really ask for some detailed input. So thank you, and thank you for helping with that. Yeah. Okay.
Look forward to your input in the next few days when we get that email out.
Yeah, I already submitted.
I already submitted mine. It works.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Rodney.
Fast.
Okay, so our next item is 2-2 on the agenda. This is a discussion, and this is Doug Critchfield is going to be going over what our City of NAMBA public comments are on the Canyon County's comprehensive plan. So Doug, thank you. Doug's been instrumental in following this and working diligently, and Doug, thank you for your work on it.
Thank you, Mayor. Council, good morning. I just wanted to mention, just real briefly, that we'll be presenting this plan and the process at the planners' conference coming up in October. Yeah, staff will be there to represent it, so NAMBA will be well represented. I'm just going to try and briefly go over this. We've pared it down just to a few salient points here for the council. This is a response to the 2030 comprehensive plan that Canyon County is putting together. They've been working on this plan for about 3 years now, and they're looking to for public input. We've had one public meeting on the 10th. There's another one coming up on the 24th, and I'll be going to that to provide some additional comment. I don't know the remainder of their schedule. They haven't posted that yet, but it's assumed that this fall that they'll take it through their public hearings and look to adopt this. Some of the areas that I think are of concern to NAMBA, I've pointed out here, and I'll just go through these real quickly. On August 2nd, we met with a long-range planner from the county, and we brought up some points here that they are looking to work with us on, which is a breakthrough for us in working with the county. They're developing a the municipalities in that process. So they're open to that idea. We think that the border lands between the county and the city are really important areas for us, and so we need to have an active role in how that develops. They're also going to be creating what they're calling sub-area plans. To what extent that geography extends, I'm not sure. We think that it's going to center around the area of impact. But those, we also need to have a seat at the table when they're developing those sub-area plans as it relates to Nampa. And they're also talking about designating supply of developable industrial, commercial, and residential land. Again, Nampa should be heavily involved with where those land use designations go, particularly, again, within the area of impact. And, again, they agreed to those types of things. This is in Chapter 4. Some of the other areas of their comprehensive plan, they talk about supporting development. We need to know more about what that means. So we'll have a continued dialogue with the county about what it means to support development in areas that provide services and what utility connections mean to them in terms of our ability to control what happens adjacent to the city limits. And then they're looking to align their plans with the areas of city impact, which is a positive move, we think. That's a result of a lot of input that the communities have had with the county. We've rewritten, we have a 1998 agreement with the county about how we're going to interact. And essentially that agreement says that they'll send us projects, which they have done, and projects within the area of impact that are not within city limits. They'll send us information about those proposals, and then we provide feedback. And the only authority that we have is really is that the commissioners will give our input great weight. That's all that the current agreement has. We're looking to strengthen that agreement so that the city has more impact on how development occurs out in the area of impact areas. And so we've rewritten that agreement. We've sent it off. We sent it off to Steve, who was the development services director there. He moved over to Caldwell. And so now we're kind of in limbo with that. So we're looking to, once they restructure at the county level, then we'll continue on with that dialogue. And we're glad to see that in this document. We sent a letter on July 21st suggesting a couple of additions to their comprehensive plan. And that residential development that does not conform to future land use map limitations and city requirements should not be considered for approval by the county. We think that's really important. And secondly, a combined medium density residential zoning designation, developments in that designation should be subject to city requirements. Those all have to do with the way that we develop in the area of impact and the city's response to that to support our agreement with the county. On page 31 of the document, they produced a map that shows what they're calling intensive agriculture areas in the county. Obviously, the county's interested in preserving agricultural land and doing that in ways that protects the industries, particularly the seed industry that we have here, and several of the other agribusiness types of industries. There's quite a bit of areas south of Nampa where we were looking to expand a little bit on our area of impact. And there's been some overlay. This is a little bit closer view of the areas that the red area here is the area that we were looking to expand into these intensive ag areas. I think the intent of these intensive ag areas initially was for a transfer of development right program that the county is putting together, which essentially says that if somebody develops and wants to develop in the county, or that they want to preserve ag land in the county, they can do so with the caveat that they'd be able to take what they're preserving in the county and develop within city limits. We haven't worked out any details on this transfer of development right program, but that was the genesis of this area, intensive ag area development. development. And so we're trying to work through those and what that means for the transfer development right program with the county. We think that needs to be worked out and refined, and whether we want to participate in that. What does that mean to us? What does that mean to the city of Napa? So it's a relatively small area that we're looking at. The import of this is that if we expand our area of impact to the south within these areas, it gives us the opportunity to overlay planning areas. And so if somebody's going to annex into this area in the county, it allows us to have some control over what type of development occurs in those areas. Without the county, without the city overlay, the area of impact overlay, it's really up in the air as to how this develops on the edges. So we need to have some more control of what's happening on the edges as we continue to grow, emphasizing the development of areas within the enclaved areas of the city as much as possible. There's some discussion on page 40 about drought. We're just encouraging the county to participate in our drought task force and the outcomes of that task force. And then on the 24th, a couple of last items here. We're going to be talking to the county about schools and the impact, particularly to the Valley View School District, of development in that area and how we can work together to help the school district situation that we're in. And then there's been some discussion about the county assisting in public airports with expansion efforts. We need to have the county have a dialogue with our airport folks about that and with the city and what that means to assist us in our public airport. Right now, I don't know of any expansion efforts on the airport side, but we need to define that. And then in their housing elements, they talked a lot about different housing types that could be developed in the county. And we're encouraging the different housing types to come into the city limits rather than to be out in the county pocket areas. And so we're going to have ongoing discussions with them about that. They're also talking about adopting a public housing overlay, and we need to know more details about what that means, particularly within the area of impact. And then this chapter 12 talks about an agricultural preservation ordinance, and we're going to ask that we participate with them in developing that program. I believe this is the last slide. In chapter 12, it talks about in chapter 12, developing a land development guidelines for new projects, proposed near existing agricultural activities, operations, or facilities. We're going to ask to participate on a group of stakeholders to develop land development guidelines again for those border areas. And that was it on the significant issues. I'd be glad to take any questions that you have.
Mayor?
Yes.
Doug, just a quick question. Is it possible, is this comp plan draft available in that you can email it?
It's in your packet.
It's in your packet, yeah.
Okay, it's not in this packet.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's a PDF. It was probably sent to you, Randy, but it's also online.
So, okay.
Yeah.
So that's accessible. It's in the minutes, or I guess in the agenda. It's an attachment.
Oh, okay.
What about the letter that you sent the county? Is that there as well?
Mayor, I don't know whether that was included or not. If it wasn't, I could send that to you.
If you wouldn't mind.
Yeah.
There was one other item. PowerPoint. Is this PowerPoint available as well? Is that in our packet?
Yes, Mayor, I believe that was included in the packet.
Okay, so in the packet is the PowerPoint and the comp plan draft?
Yes.
All right, thank you.
Any other questions? Doug, I really appreciate your work. Thank you for representing the city, for paying attention. This is really important. It's interesting because I see, as I look at this plan, I see two things. I see preservation of ag, but at the same time, the housing overlay. Some of the housing discussion and comments that are in there are almost contrary to the ag. preservation. And I'm a little concerned because we want to preserve ag ground, yet the county has been developing and actually approving subdivision developments right on the edge of our impact area and right on the edge of city limits. I mean, just right there. And they do talk to us, but there are times they've approved things. And I really appreciate you asking them to adhere to our guidelines. So, and the sidewalk requirements, for example, we end up, when we've got this today, where you have a county subdivision that's been approved with septic tanks and wells right on the fringe of the city, then when we do expand our utilities, like water, wastewater, we're going to have to go through that ground, and there are no sidewalks required. And so Doug has really worked to get the county to align with us so that we don't have that situation happening. But one thought, and I mean, as we move forward, if we're going to preserve ag ground and slow the growth in the county, that means the density needs to come in the city. And yet we know when we go ahead and develop the enclaves, we have a whole lot of not in my backyard happening. So it's an interesting challenge. And as we talk about strategy, and I, you know, with the Cushlands and when we look to move forward, I think that's going to be a very important topic of discussion. How do we grow? Right? Because we're going to grow. And where are we growing? And what type of growth is happening? And so in our land use and density, it's all a very, very important discussion as we move forward. But Doug, thank you. So, and I think council knows this, but I'll just, Doug's responsibility is the future planner. And he's doing a really good job. I just appreciate your work and your focus.
Oh, thank you, Mayor. I appreciate that.
So that's a mayor question. Doug, are we having, and I don't know if it's appropriate or not, but we have to two out of our three new commissioners coming in. So are we having discussions with them so they kind of get the ground running on some of these areas? I mean, I realize Steve is with Caldwell now. So, I mean, who are we? Are we having preliminary discussions? I realize January, you know, it's not that far off. And these are the folks who are going to be making the final decisions for the future, so these are the next few years.
Yeah, Mayor and Councilmember Gruber, we have not had any discussions with the new...
Unless that's not appropriate, I certainly would suggest that Zach and Brad and, of course, Leslie, you know, be brought into this as soon as possible so we get ahead of the game.
We'll look for a format to do that.
So my understanding, though, is that it sounds as though this may be adopted this fall before they take office, and which is a little unfortunate, but hopefully they're also weighing in to the process and the decision. But if it is adopted this fall, then it's adopted. But they can always amend it.
I would say they could sure hopefully can amend.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of amending going on at the first meeting, of course.
Any other comments? Doug, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Okay, well, actually, that didn't take long at all, and that was a really great overview. The next item of discussion is our strategic plan document, and Phil Cushlin, thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Your Honor. Council members, seems like I'm going to need to change my license plates to two C's. Second time in 2 days I've been here. Again, my name is Phil Cushlin. I'm working with the city and mayors and other people on what we're calling the implementation framework of your various planning efforts that have been underway for a number of years. We met with you on June 16th, I think it was, where we discussed in some detail kind of the skeleton of what we were working on to kind of help us focus on putting some reality to the various planning documents that the city has adopted over the last several years. Based upon that input that we had, we went back and modified some of the statements that you had already adopted in terms of mission and vision and so forth, and kind of recharacterize those a little bit. And so we came back today to kind of report back to you. So what we're trying to do today is to, again, report back, receive your comments in terms of what we've done thus far. answer whatever questions that you might have at this point, and then kind of have a conversation about where we go from here in terms of making this a viable tool for your decision-making into the future. Again, this is kind of the process we've gone through, and it's been just about like that. We, again, met with this group in June. Based upon that conversation, we went and redrafted the plan and expanded it to include the full variety of focus areas that we discussed at that time. On July 18th, we met with an expanded staff leadership team and gave that group an opportunity to take what we had done and provide their comments and input into the draft that we had done at that point. They responded quite well. We got a lot of comments back from them. And we've been able to amalgamate those into our original draft and to the extent that we could, because some of the things that you might expect was a lot of detail and probably wasn't appropriate for a high-level document at this point. But I think over time, as we dig down into those things as well, we'll have the opportunity to focus on some of the more detailed things we've heard from staff. Again, that brings us to this meeting here, and so hopefully, as we discussed prior, last meeting, that this is a dialogue, a conversation, not a lecture, and so it'll be useful for us to have you weigh in and then kind of guide our document here. So any questions about what we're about today? Okay. This is pretty much what you've already seen. These are your words, slightly modified. Your tagline up at the top is pretty much what you had. Your values of integrity, stewardship. You had teamwork. We changed that to collaboration, which kind of was a recharacterization of that. And basically, at the mayor's suggestion, we included the concept of innovation as that being a kind of a core values that the organization likes to facilitate here. And so we included that there as well to expand that value statement from 3 to 4.
Can we pause right there?
Of course. And you can please stop me as we go through this, because, like I said, it's got to be a conversation.
Thank you. So this, when we talk about vision, mission, these core values, what we determine here is how I implement at the operationally in the city. So this is real important to me because we use it all the time. So I really want the candid feedback from council. How do you feel about changing teamwork to collaboration? Are you good with that and adding innovation? Because we can, and how important is that? And I'm totally open to council. I just want to make sure that because of the importance of this, that it's got your, we're there as we leave this meeting today.
So you're ready to some definition. Discussed all
can you speak into your, I'm sorry,
you made it longer and still didn't work for me, huh? Collaboration, I'm fine with, by the way. I know what stewardship means from a fundraising standpoint and so on, giving and so on, so what do you see when you go a step further and look at these four values? What is stewardship to you?
Stewardship to me is that in every element of what we do, we are being good stewards of the asset, which is the tax dollars of what we've been entrusted
to. That's what I wanted to hear. The money out of our citizens' pockets. So,
but it's not just money. Okay. It's stewardship, how we implement that across the city operationally, how we use our time, how we manage our resources, how we care for our equipment. Everything we do, we need to be good stewards of what we're entrusted with. And so stewardship is broad, and we do talk about it. An example is the street team, when they're doing the oil on chip sealing, they do a phenomenal job of cleaning that, and it's a lot of work. But because of it, that extended the life of equipment, which saves us money. And so that's what stewardship is. It goes beyond just the dollars. It has the actions, but that's what stewardship is.
And we're getting a lot better, and things that are fresh in my mind are the things that come up. But probably the biggest thing that I hear is street. Of course, people don't like when they have to, redefine their travel plans or what streets they can hit or whatever. But making sure also that if we do something, infrastructure-wise in the street or whatever, that if there's something that needs to be done 2-3 years, I'm not telling you anything.
It's a one big policy.
Okay. Yeah. And that there's collaboration and communication. And I think that's something that the municipalities and we are guilty of also still not collaborating on that and knowing what the left and right are doing.
We try really hard. Okay. We talk about it a lot.
Okay.
And we do have a one-day policy. Sometimes you've got new development that comes in and they're putting whatever.
Right.
And so sometimes it doesn't work, but it is absolutely an area of focus and a goal.
Yeah, and help me, same question for you regarding what I asked you on stewardship. In innovation, there again, I think we all have our definition of innovation, but when you're looking at that, what are the top 2 or 3 things you think of innovation?
An example would be I'm going to go back to streets. When our streets team actually created the salt brine, you had a team that was thinking outside the box, and they found a way for us to, instead of buying, to create their own, and it saved literally tens of thousands of dollars, which will equate to hundreds over years. And so that's innovative. And so one thing that I ask our entire team in every department is to think outside the box. One thing that is kind of a pet peeve of mine, and sometimes in government, we can just do things the way we've always done them and think that that's okay. And not think outside the box of what can I do differently to improve where I am and not just to get stuck where we are. And so that's where that innovative mindset is with every department and what do we need to do as we move forward for our community that saves dollars, that manages resources better. So it's an innovative mindset.
Okay, and I'm going to just go a little deeper. So do we have designated individuals in every department that are kind of focused on innovation?
Not necessarily. We talk about it. It really is the responsibility of the director to be working with their department heads. Because the innovation, so we don't have somebody that is, their title is the innovator.
No, I understand.
Right?
I'm just saying it's a segmented part of their job. They say, hey, what we saw today was in my definition, was innovation. Mm-hmm. By what Amy and Doug that's mm-hmm. to me, that's creativeness. But mm-hmm. a lot of folks in a lot of departments, whether it's city business or whatever, say we don't have time for that. We just got to do the everyday routine things. So
it's difficult. We don't have a designated person because the innovation comes from those that are working hard every day. So it has to be a culture of how we think. Are we there 100%? No. Are we going there and continuing to talk about it? Yes, but it does take time.
Good. And I also, Chief Huff, I just briefly spoke with him, but we're back at it, but innovation in the gang force and so on. I mean, he's pretty much just put that over in someone's hands, and they're taking it on and just getting it done. So to me, that's innovation also.
And, I should have mentioned Comstat was innovative. It was the chief having an idea and saying, let's go for it. And the outcome of that has been amazing, reducing crime considerably, better utilizing our resources. So that's the mindset, and that's where we're going, and there's always more work to be done.
Anyway, overall, after growing you a little bit, and I appreciate your answers, and I totally agree, and I'm fine with these 4. So.
Okay. And Adam, yes?
Phil, I have trouble with stewardship, and so what I did, you guys were talking, I went to look at another word for stewardship, and I don't know if there's another word that explains it better. But for those who don't understand what stewardship means, it's management, and so we understand it because we deal with it every day. Some of the other words that I just see that there's no other word that's going to replace that would be management, guidance, government, handling, superintendency, control, regulation, running, oversight, and governance. I think that's it right there. I don't know what else
whatever
so you're okay with this?
I'm kind of not okay, but it really hits the point. I think it's going to be okay.
Yeah, I think, at least as I thought about this over years, is basically it's my obligation to look after other people's ownership. And so you don't own this stuff. Other people own this stuff. And you are basically in charge of it for a while. And so that stewardship issue is a recognition that you are here representing somebody else's ownership and to leave it better than you found it. And you're not going to find that in any textbook definition, but in terms of an experience that I've gone over the last five decades, it's basically an attitude of how you look at the resource, the money, and the physical facilities that you are given so that you're taking care of it.
And my opinion, and I appreciate our concept, the distinction in that, but we've kind of lost that over. I just look at, like, borrowing equipment from a neighbor, borrows a mower or whatever. You know, the old, from old-timers was you clean it up and it looks better than when you actually received it. Right. Same way with rentals. You know, the stigma out there is people who rent are not going to take care of their house as well as somebody that actually the owner is living or residing in that. Is there anything as a professional and guidance you and wife that you would add a fifth one or whatever this that you've seen in other areas? Is there anything that you feel like should be added to our values?
No, I think, again, these are your statements. I'm basically here as your scribe. But in terms of innovation, commented on your question, Councilman, I was seeing this as innovation is everybody's job. And as you look down into the details of the initiatives and so forth, we've suggested that you have an annual innovations award, basically so you honor people's innovation. You tell people it's okay to take a risk. And certainly this body here, I think, in my opinion, should convey that you will accept a certain level of risk-taking in your organization for those opportunities to move ahead as opposed to doing something that we've been doing all the time because we've always been doing it that way because that's safe. Innovation is not always safe. And so some kind of expression in this manner here suggests that you are recognizing that as a value as the broader institution.
Phil, thank you. I really appreciate your explanation and what you said, Darrell. Thank you for your questions. That's the kind of discussion we need to have today. The depth of what does that mean? And just to make sure we're making that right decision, I really appreciate that. Thank you.
I just think it's important, Madam Mayor, as a great leader that you are, that everyone all the way down to any employee for the city of Napa needs to kind of know from you what your definitions are of these, for them to kind of carry that out and even carry it a step further.
Well, I appreciate the discussion because this does go into our everyday discussion. And it goes into our goals within departments, and it goes into every employee when it goes into our handbook. And so we'll be updating our handbook, employee handbook, to add this in. But it's an expectation at every level. And so that's why I want to make sure that we're all on board because we are really good. We will adopt it.
And one other comment, because we're having challenging in hiring and so on. To me, I realize that the finances, the money, the benefits are very, very important. But I think if a person is getting into a job, appears that they can take risks, they can be creative, and someone's going to listen to their ideas, at least in an open fashion. They'll give them a direct answer, yay, nay, or whatever, but keep at it. That's going to help as far as in the hiring of people who are coming in Annapolis.
I think you're right. Thank you. Councilman Haverfield.
I know Darrell's carrying the day on this topic this morning. When I looked at these words and listened to what you had to say, again, it just spoke. We went through this about 6 years ago when we started reevaluating our vision statement and our values. These are for guys, it's kind of the Boy Scout mantra or virtues. For Natalie can maybe speak to the Girl Scout side, but honesty and integrity speaks for itself, and I think that's a strong statement because it talks about an unselfish nature, which is what servants, you know, as far as public servants should be. Stewardship, I think, speaks for itself, as you mentioned, Mayor, that it is, it's a value of the resources and the time we have available in the day. So I think that's a strong statement as well. Collaboration, I question, because I'm an old football coach. When you start talking about being able to speak to people, there's no I in the team. That's just something we always said. Teamwork is a collaboration. It's an easier statement for me to be able to that's why we had it before. It's just an easier thing to understand. Collaboration, I think, is kind of a watering down in a sense, but it speaks. It's a big word, so maybe it's more inclusive. But innovation, I think, is a great term to add because I think it's important that we are open to new ideas. So I would only question the change of the term from teamwork to collaboration person.
Your Honor, if I can respond to that, I thank you because, again, all these things need to be challenged because they ultimately need to be yours. One of the things that I've noticed and witnessed in these conversations is that there's a whole lot of stuff to be done out here. And the city doesn't have the legal authority, the money, the political will, the time to do everything that needs to be done in this community. And so, I'm a big believer in partnerships. You need to get people on side and divide up the work, and they can, other people, maybe the business organizations, neighborhood organizations, to pick up part of the cudgel and move the vision forward. And so I think that connotes moving beyond the institution of the city to include others in achievement of the vision. So that's why I moved beyond teams to collaboration. Happy to move it back because it's important that whatever this says is you're fully bought into. So that was the reason that I suggested we modify the wording, but again, ultimately it's got to be your wording.
And as I read that and thought about it, that's where I at first was like, man, I like teamwork. But teamwork, the connotation of teamwork is internal because we are a team internally. Collaboration moves it to, it's not just the teamwork within the city, it's the collaboration outside the city as a community-wide that we're going to collaborate with the private sector, with key stakeholders, with nonprofits, whatever. So that's where I thought, because I understand and I like the word teamwork, but I just got to thinking about it. It feels like it goes broader. But one thought, we need to put a definition with these, and so that's something that we'll work on. Because I think in our employee handbook, having the definition is also going to be important. Because, and in the definition, we can define it as, we can talk about teamwork, and then going further beyond the internal team to the external, to where we can actually define it further.
In parentheses, I wrote down what each one of those things mean, because that's what Darrell was asking for, is a deep dive on definition. As a statement word, obviously that's fine. But as long as, again, we kind of define what that means to us, because that's what...
Is there anything wrong with having two words, collaboration, / teamwork?
Okay, Natalie.
Oh, Natalie, go for it.
Well, I was just going to joke and say another word for teamwork is confederacy. So if we want to freak some people out, we can use that word.
Actually, I like the idea of teamwork and collaboration together. I mean, personally, I was thinking that, but I didn't state it. So I'm glad Darrell did.
Okay.
I like the simplicity of one, choosing one or the other.
And I would choose teamwork. But that's me.
Yeah, I was compromising for a change.
That's a first.
Oh, really quick, too, I want to add that Doug Racine, on teams, he, under stewardship, he put accountability, so.
So, for sake of time today, let's just take that into consideration and let's work on a definition. I think we'll work on defining these, and it doesn't necessarily need to be in this document, but I think especially for our handbook, for internal use of core values, I think it's going to be important that we have a definition for how to apply that as somewhat from an internal perspective. So, but actually this is our day to talk about it, so it can be teamwork slash collaboration. I know this is silly, but it's how it gets applied.
We do decide to go ahead and combine those, the teamwork starts internally, but then that team reaches out and collaborates.
Externally.
So it'd be teamwork slash collaboration.
I just don't see the purpose of having two words that mean the same thing.
They don't. It carries in a whole other level. It goes up. It starts, you have the foundation, and you're moving to the next level. That doesn't make sense.
I see the point.
So collaboration is more. It encompasses more. But you've got to have a foundation before you
believe. That might be the fifth one.
Yeah. Maybe. Oh. You know, Phil, maybe that's the interesting.
Again, I think, are we talking about NAMBA employee handbook values, City of NAMBA employee values, or are we talking about City of NAMBA entirety as far as families and everyone else? Is this their vision statement? It's not. It's ours.
This is really ours, more internal to our city. But part of where collaboration comes in is that everything we do, we've got to be collaborating each department, right? Like it's, let's say, planning and zoning or economic development, collaborating with developers, and our Healthy NAMBA working with the nonprofits. Because much of what we do is in collaboration with others, but it's part of our what we do. So I'm going to call Amy out, but thank you. Amy made a comment, and Amy, would you like to say what you sent to me?
Well, just from kind of marketing perspective, three is better than four. It's easier for people to remember. All of our business cards have our current core values, so at some point we either have to reprint them or they just remain outdated. I mean, some people don't go through a lot of business cards, so it would just be up to your discretion if you want to get those reprinted or...
I don't think we'll reprint, and it's okay to have the former core values. However, I saw that, when we get five, these will no longer be on our business cards because they're not going to fit. Especially if you do teamwork slash collaboration, our core values won't be on our business card because they just won't fit on there once we get too long. And so that is, it's just a comment to be aware of. The more we broaden, the less visible it will be. So, anyway, we may come back to this before we're done, but let's go ahead and move on today. But this has been really good discussion.
Yes, and that's why we're here.
Yeah.
And again, last time we talked about the whole vision, mission dichotomy. And I think at that time, you'd indicated that your vision statement really wasn't one. It basically, in my view, was more a value statement in terms of how you approach your jobs. And so what I did is took the conversation that we had and plus some other documents that you had and basically tried to walk out into 2040 and look around NAMBA and describe what I saw. And that was kind of what I expected a vision statement to be. And as such, I drafted one that you have before you. Basically, it has four points. I took the Compass population forecast, and they said that's going to be 156,000 people. We don't know if it's going to be 156 or 154 or 162. So I said it's going to exceed 150,000. That's significantly different than what you have now. And so I think what we're trying to convey is there's going to be more people here in your stewardship, if you will. We talked about a strong sense of unique identity that is NAMBA. NAMBA isn't Caldwell, it's not Boise, it's not Meridian, it's not CUNA, it's NAMBA. And how do you basically ensure that uniqueness continues. We talked about investment in, I guess, a whole life in terms of home living here and being able to be employed here and raise your families here. And that is a significant, importance I perceived from this group, and that is something that we wanted to ensure still exists here in 2040. And that everybody still is safe and secure in their community. And so, again, those seem to be key elements of what you wanted to see retained over time. And so I tried to articulate those in the document that you have before you. So does that seem right?
Yeah. Yes.
The only thing I'm not seeing there is the recreational aspect of, you know, as far as what our community enjoys with the rec center and the golf courses and bike and pedestrian pathways. I mean, that's, I don't see that as far as on the consistent investment, unless that's what you're talking about there.
Okay, I apologize for not highlighting that, because it was a secure and healthy community. And so basically your investment in your parks and recreation programs is an investment, in my opinion, in the health of your constituents.
So it's,
in that paragraph that's written there, it says, the last sentence, systems are in place to support a healthy lifestyle, as well as ensuring an acute care when needs arise. That's on.
And we tried to kind of summarize it in the chart form, the meat of it's in this document here.
Okay.
And so if we can, if we want to dive into the detail, that's where the detail, you'll find that there. I tried to do present and summarize in detail at the same time. It's difficult. But thanks for asking that question.
Okay. It's a good point, and it's important. I think it's somewhat covered in the further, so it would be healthy, secure and healthy living. But it'd be thinking about how to say that. Unless we go back to safe and healthy community. That's our vision, is to have a safe and healthy community. And part of that, so...
I was just going to say that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that's perfect, because I really, maybe it's just me, but I really don't like high-level boards like this one. Now that citizens enjoy a high level of security, that high level, that just turns me off. I don't know why. I just don't like it. And what you just said, Mayor, is perfect. It gives it better, yes.
A safe and healthy.
Safe and healthy environment and community. Yeah. Because, I mean, what does a high level mean?
Yeah. I guess you would never apply to a low level of security. So,
I think it's the same thing. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Good point. That's just me, though. I mean,
so that's why we're here.
Okay.
I may, Mayor and Phil, if I may, so a strong sense of identity. Is that in here?
Yes. You're going to see that kind of over and over again as you
Okay, and I guess it is. And there again, my personal, because we 2 years ago, we spent a lot of time and so on in getting in God We Trust above the city of Nampa. And so from a city of Nampa that we're not telling people what they need to be, but we are in God, we do put our trust. So is that in our strong sense of identity distinction, or where would I find that?
I've made several references through here to your previous comments and your previous writing, that emphasizing your faith-based community and back to the collaboration, the partnerships that I was doing, was ensuring that among those entities that were seen as viable partners to the municipal corporation were faith-based organizations.
So I'm just asking, what vision, what are those four visions, do you see that in that?
You know what we could do, I just realized, is, so in this implementation, does everybody have this implementation framework document?
This one here, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So on the first page, in that second bullet under Preferred Future 2040 Vision, where it says concerted efforts by public institutions, civic and faith-based organizations, neighborhoods, and private businesses have resulted in a community built on a rich history where residents maintain, and maybe what we do, maintain a foundation of faith and a strong identity.
Yes.
maybe we go back to that, because that's something we talk about in our community. There is a strong foundation of faith. So maybe we just add, Darl, would that work?
I would appreciate that. Yeah.
Okay, so maybe we add those words right there, maintain a foundation of faith and strong identity with our neighbors.
I like it.
We got it.
Thank you.
Good. Anything else in the 2040 vision?
Some might want to see less of a population than 150, but that's
just... one that I was involved in, but several years ago there was another person had a similar conversation with a body like this, and they concluded that in the 20-year horizon that their town should be a ghost town. So, I don't know if that was, they didn't make it, but I don't know if that was an aspiration or not.
We're going to have to go up into 150,000. I guess we're putting it in a seven-story soon, so.
That is clearly a foundational issue. You know, what's this thing going to look like? If they're not going to be bunking into your living room, they're going to be someplace else. So
one thing that, just from speaking points around this, I don't know, in our vision casting, it's acknowledging that by 2040 we will have a population of 150,000. It isn't that we're setting it as a goal, and there's a difference between the two. So, and because it's not like our goal is to grow to 150,000, the reality is we probably will. And so in our vision, we're acknowledging, and so the way you put that, in 2040, the Nampa population has grown by over 50% to a level exceeding 150,000 people. I think that's an okay way to put that, because it's not set as though that's the goal that we're trying to get there. It's a reality that it probably has.
And Mayor, I guess what I just heard you say, I think that person should be in there, that distinction, that's not necessarily our goal.
Our goal is not to try to grow.
I'm saying that in writing to have that actually in there.
I'm not saying that, you know, that depends on each council people and who the mayor is and 2030, et cetera. But, I mean, I think for this council and so on, that necessarily is not, hopefully we're going to be very, as far as we'll collaborate, but also evaluate closely what goes in and how quickly this grows.
We maybe just have the wording we acknowledge that by 2040, the Nampa population will have grown. We acknowledge that.
Yeah,
but that's kind of a simple way of indicating that we're acknowledging it, but it's not our goal.
Okay. Yes.
Or you could say it's not a goal, but I'm just thinking how
to... Yeah, some cities have tried to limit population. You know, they have put moratoria. Can't do that in this state. But basically what that did, it failed. Every time it's been tried, people came anyway. They either changed the mind or they grew outside the city limits. And so I think we are in a complex regional environment here, and what you do, basically is like moving water around.
So we can't purchase that unused wall down south?
You can certainly endeavor to do so.
You know, another...
Just kidding.
Another way we could word that is, I lost it, so it's something, it is not a goal, yet we acknowledge by 2040 that we...
It's a reality.
Yeah.
While
not a goal, we acknowledge. Maybe that's what we put down. While not a goal, we acknowledge. And just add it to the front end of that. And that accomplishes, Darl, what you're after.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you're taking notes, I assume that's what you're doing. Uh-huh. What I didn't see here, and maybe it's inferred, I'm not sure of that, but as far as intentional goals, which is what we're talking about here, I didn't see anything about historic preservation. Obviously, it's important that to maintain a sense of who we are in a place that we've created historic preservation. The arts needs to be added into that. The downtown vitality, I think if it's a goal that we're shooting for, if it's mentioned, our Main Street program, the vitality of the downtown, how that's developed, I think is something that would be a strong goal that I think would be good, and that it's family friendly. That's another thing that I can see in here, but it could be inferred.
It is in the goals later on.
You will find those details, and you'll see those specific issues highlighted.
I did see it in the preferred goals for 2040.
Phil, so you've been studying Napa for the last, what, a couple of months?
Since 1948.
Okay, never mind. But you don't live here, right? You live somewhere.
Like that.
Okay. So as long as you've been here focusing on this project, what do you think is the identity of Napa? And how would you explain it?
It is certainly a place, as Councilman Haverhill suggests, is based on history, and it values that. And that might have something to say about what kind of design you want to look at. I think, at least in terms of my observation, that the issue of religion, however you define that, is a community value that is probably emphasized here more than other places. Mm-hmm. I think that there seems to be more a unity of purpose. Like you don't have your public service mission chopped up into a variety of independent competing entities. Did I say that properly? Like you don't have a highway district.
Yeah.
And so the city is an entity that seems to be regarded as trustworthy to have the authority to do a lot of things that in other parts of this state have been segregated off into other independent entities. And that says something to me that there's a regard for this institution that may not be universally held throughout.
So you're basically saying what you just said in here.
Probably.
Yeah. In a nutshell. That's great. Thank you.
And again, it's you know, it's my words, but basically my words picking up what I've perceived from our conversations here in this group and with staff and other community members.
Well, I've heard those words from people coming in from town, especially with Californians, when they come in by a home. That's what they're basically saying what you say. And I think that when we talk about identity and diversity of the identity is important. So, yes, I think you're right on.
And I think looking 20 some odd years out in the future, given that influx of population, which is certainly likely to occur, that maintenance of that identity has to be purposeful. Otherwise, it's going to be diluted to become just like every place else. And so I think what we've tried to do here in some of the details of moving forward are strategies where you welcome newcomers, but you kind of have this initiation process, if you will, that counsels people in terms of what it means to be one of us. And I've had this theory along for years that when you buy a new car, they give you an owner's manual. Maybe we ought to have an owner's manual for newcomers. This is how you find this, where the key goes, no empties anymore. You know, you got the brake lever here, and you've got the air conditioning here. This is how you make this thing work for you. And maybe there's a reason to understand that there are going to be new people here that don't understand fully who we are and what we do and how we got here. And maybe there needs to be a purposeful reception, if you will, to help people understand the norms of Napa.
So, Mayor, do we have a new ordinance where we have
education class.
You know, we could have a walk-up class, though. You know, that's an interesting concept.
No, I like wagon. Uh-huh. You can combine that. Yes. You call it a welcome, but also orient them at the same time.
It would take time, and you've got to do, somebody would have to do it, and you'd have to put this thing together. I think if you're consciously concerned about the dilution of your identity, it seems to me that you need to understand that you need to help people acclimate, if you will.
You know, Mayor, back in Idaho Falls, back in the 1980s, when you would connect with water and sewer and electricity up there, that they would send a letter to you or a little card saying, thank you for moving to Idaho Falls. And sometimes they give you a basket, but not very much, because it was too expensive. Yeah. But that's a great idea. Of course, with the way we're growing, we have to take
care of everything. There used to be a welcome basket for Napa.
So, conceptually, though, I think it's something to think about. And I really appreciate this discussion and those comments, because we can purpose to reach out via utility billing, new hookups, right? What are they receiving? That is, how do we implement that concept of welcome to our community? This is who we are. Yeah. And then I think on our websites, there's nothing wrong with people understanding the community that they're moving into. We do have people that are moving to Nampa intentionally. And the reason they're moving here is because of, we're different than Boise. It is what it is. And I've heard a number of people that have purposefully moved to Nampa for that reason. But then there's some people that may accidentally show up here and go, oh, I'm not so happy that it's because it doesn't reflect who I am. Right? So maybe we should be more intentional about communicating who we are and what we value. And so people have an idea. Anyway, there's ways we can do that.
Yeah, and I think with social media, you have opportunities now that we didn't have back when Welcome Wagon was the thing.
That's what it was, Welcome Wagon.
Showing my age.
So recognizing we only have 10 minutes, and I thank you so much for the way that you put your slides together, because this takes us to this next area. And so what I'd like to suggest is for council, when we go into the focus area, the goals and all the content underneath these has come from the hard work of the Cushlands going through the comp plan and looking at it, and then also going to the directors and asking them for their input. And they looked at the goals the directors had already established. You looked at a lot to narrow it down to these focus areas and then the strategies underneath it. And so for today, I think it would be really good to say, yes, we agree with these focus areas.
Yes, I think, you know, trying to get down to the initiatives, you're going to see that in budget discussions. You're going to see all this stuff going forward, hopefully for years. But again, categorizing the six areas that we want to kind of be our topics of focus. We've put six of them, safety being one, which I think clearly, in my biased opinion, that is the primary mission of the government, is to make sure your folks not only are safe, but feel safe. Health is a significant focus area, back to not only the recreational programs, but, you know, water and sewer systems, certainly a variety of things that you do are contributing to health, building department, and so forth. Mobility, I know we had a conversation about how you get around this town when you're going to be looking at 150,000 people. That's going to be an ongoing challenge. That's going to change its character over time from predominantly, well, it'll probably still be predominantly single occupant vehicles, but alternative transportation modes as well. Prosperity, how do we ensure that people can afford to live here and basically provide for their families? And again, make sure that we consciously support the prosperity of our citizens and don't inadvertently put barriers in their way. Responsibility is basically maybe more of that stewardship issue. How do you basically hold yourselves accountable? How do you reach out and connect with the various identified participants in the community via business interests or faith-based interests or neighborhoods? And we suggested maybe a more aggressive relationship with identifying neighborhoods and homeowner associations to build some capacity in them to have them be partners for you in the achievement of things you're trying to do. And then we talked about effective governance. Certainly one of the comments we got is we need to focus on the organizational culture that supports all of this stuff, and basically going through and talking about, I'm trying to say the mechanics of governance, but that's probably best I can come up with standing here. But how do you do that in such a manner that acknowledges your fiduciary obligation to stockholders out there, so that when you're done with your term, you've left the place at least as well as you found it, if not better. And so there's a bunch of stuff you'll see under those headings in terms of specific goals and initiatives. I think the goals are probably appropriate for council focus, though the initiatives, I think, are going to be a living document as the process moves ahead through the years. And so that's, again, the shorthand version of what you've been presented. And I'll be happy to return to have any conversations that you might want to have.
Hey, Mayor, Phil, are these in prioritized order? They're not alphabetical, so I'm asking you, is that, I know safety as far as our community, that's something that they are. High priority.
I don't think you can say they're priority 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
So I guess I'm asking, what was your, how did you distinguish which one you listed first, second, or did you even think about it?
I think safety, going back to my point, is the general grant of police powers is to tend to the health, safety, and welfare of your citizens. So health and safety kind of rose to the top, and maybe an effective governing mechanism is at the bottom as the foundation. How about that?
Do you agree with that?
I just thought, this is off the top of his head.
From a woman's perspective, aesthetically, it looks good, because it's short.
Well, I was going to say the letters. I thought maybe they went by the number of letters.
Looks good on paper. One thing I was thinking is maybe adding unity. I don't know if we can bounce that around, but...
That means we're more than three. No.
Just, the idea of unity is, having just different groups, different organizations coming together as one. And I think that we kind of want to be a city where people feel welcome, where they feel like they fit.
You got to put that number one,
I know, right?
Mayor. I think the concept is kind of present in responsibility, but if you have a different word there, I'm certainly open.
Yeah, I think unity, we need to think about that, how we can incorporate that. I really like the idea, but it could be incorporated into a definition in our vision, too.
Because adding it to teamwork.
There you go.
Teamwork, collaboration, / unity. Well,
Mayor?
I think in our preferred vision
piece,
just a real quickie before we, I'm going to just say one quick thing. On the focus areas, these focus areas also guide us by departments. So are the goals for the departments come out of our focus areas? And we used to have three. So it was safety, infrastructure, and economic opportunity. And so we're broadening it, which is fine. But they do the goals for every department, then funnel back. So that's why I want to make sure that we nail this, because then we work from, this is who we are. These are our core values. These are our focus areas as adopted by City Council. And then we build our goals out of this to operationalize it across the city.
And they do transcend departments. We specifically didn't focus,
yes,
line them up with departments, as because trying to transcend, because everybody has a responsibility for safety in the community. Yes. And so it's, again, not somebody else's job. It's all my job.
Yes. And then as we go down, there are other focus areas that, like economic development, will have more tied to prosperity, right? Jobs and well-being. Different departments as we go down, but we'll have different areas that they are more responsible to, but we still look at all of them across. So, Councilman Haverfield.
I was just looking through the focus area for prosperity, and I guess my question is, are you wanting feedback separate after this meeting as far as on some of these items? The only thing I question is, I appreciate the fact that the NAPA Development Corporation was mentioned in one point as far as the involvement, because, again, the NAPA Development Corporation and the City of Nampa are part of the same team. Sorry. When looking at maximizing the use of public properties and facilities located in downtown Nampa to support the goal of revitalization, I think that we've been having conversations just like you were involved with Mayor yesterday about the Nampa Development Corporation looking at potential for purchase of property for redevelopment. But one of the items you had here was transition of the Pix Theater into a community cultural and event center. Well, that's a privately owned piece of property that's not for sale. Is it the intent that we would be looking at trying to purchase that building for that effort, or try to encourage the property owner to do that? I guess I'm missing here what goal we have with the Pix Theater.
Let me talk about that, because I put that in there. And there's been a lot of conversation about the Pix, and there's very broad identity of people who've lived here a long time with the Pix. There was an effort to try to revitalize it. Thus far, it's still success in advance. But in other communities in this state, and I've been working in Sandpoint, the Panida Theater up there, it's an identical situation. It was built in 1927. It was a vaudeville house and movie theater. It went into dereliction, and then the community rose up and basically reclaimed it. And now it is the cultural site in North Idaho. They have movies. They had a look at it yesterday, and they're having a showing of Gone with the Wind. Then they have live music acts through there, and they have community lecture series. So there's a whole bunch of stuff that happens there. And it basically was a community-based collaboration that made it happen. It's still run by volunteers, including people cleaning bathrooms.
Who owns the building?
It's a private nonprofit corporation, 501c. Okay.
So my question is, is the intent here that we would try to work with a private entity to get that to happen as a city? I'm just wondering what you're asking for, what this bullet point was meant to be, other than a vision of that would be nice. Just like Boise has the Egyptian Theater, I can see that.
That's private.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not a publicly owned facility, and that was my question.
And I don't suggest it. That is the solution. It could be a solution if that's what this bunch of minds decided wants to do. I think probably it'd be more likely that would be a community collaboration in which the city may be able to play a part. Maybe NDC might play a part. I think it's the kind of thing that have broad-based community interest and identity where you could bring partners together to make something happen that nobody can do independently. And I think that's kind of the power of that situation, is it might be a kind of a catalyst for that unity that you described to make a physical outcome of people's joint caring about the history of Nampa.
One thing that I did suggest is that we get rid of the word event. Event center, only because we've got two event centers downtown and we found that event centers are not conducive to redevelopment. They sit empty all day, and we need something. So the goal would not be an event center. So I've asked that we take that word out, and we could just the cultural piece, I think, is good because that can be defined. It could go any different way. I mean, there are people that have wanted to do a restaurant there and bring back the history of the pigs in the environment. So it's hard to say what it'll be, or it could be exactly as you suggested, would be wonderful that they did at the other theater. But anyway, that's just
a similar thing in Idaho Falls, that the theater downtown, it's much more physically different than our Echo building. You haven't been there.
So, Robin, when you go back to Pennsylvania or wherever you're going, mention that there's a big theater that's just waiting to be renovated.
Okay. So, anyway, I'm not here to suggest what formula is, but it seems that that is one of those features of community identity that people can rally around. And it's got some positive history, it's got some negative history, what you have isn't probably what you want.
Okay, so we are at 9:02, and which is at the end of our time. So next steps. Randy, you asked a question a few minutes ago about feedback. We are about ready to wrap this. I think what I'd like to, this is not a vote, but are there any concerns over the focus areas? Because that's really, and then the content in the focus areas, a lot of work went into that, of bringing the, as we said earlier. So if we've missed something, then if you guys could get to us, send it to Carrie in my office and she'll get it to the Cushlands. If we've missed something, please let us know literally this week. We really need to know this week because we're ready to be done. And then, or if there's something in there that you think shouldn't be, we need to know that. But since we're all together, I think it's really important that we say yes or not to our focus areas. That's something I feel like we need today.
I agree, and I think at the local level, it's important that we focus on effective governance because we're seeing at the county level ineffective governance taking place. So the team aspect of what we have in the city is very vital, and I think then the result of the good things that we have is because of that focus. If we could at all cooperate at that collaboration with the county over time, it would be great if we could get more of a better dialogue and communication happening with them. Mm-hmm.
And I do want us to take note of Natalie's comment about unity and how we can incorporate that in. I appreciate that comment.
My argument with it is, I think it should be one of our values instead of collaboration. So I looked this up and it says, "United we stand and divided we fall" is a phrase used in many different kinds of mottos, most often to inspire collaboration. So we put it in place of collaboration. Just my thought.
If you have trouble with unity with me, that's the
Well, that's a really good point. You could define it there. That's interesting. So, I think we're going to have to ponder that one. Thank you. So, I'm not sure what we need to do with it. So, we need to come back.
So, unity involves more than just collaboration. Is the statement of unity is what you're saying?
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah. Can you speak to next steps on this?
Well, we're really trying to wrap up. Well, first of all, a plan like this is never just done, right? It's not static. It's not like, okay, we're done and we close the book, right? We are coming to a point of pause for the next month. It'd be nice to get ideas in right now. The Cushlands could maybe incorporate them. But that one word that we're trying to figure out, teamwork, collaboration, unity, and how to pull that together, maybe we could put a little think tank around that. And then thank you so much for taking notes. And do you guys have another week or so before you're gone?
Yeah.
So maybe we can just come back together with what we've got, resend it out in the red line from this. But if council members have feedback, we do need it this week. Because from today, we need it this week. And then we'll kind of figure it out. And then we'll come back with maybe a red line. And then we'll let it set, and then we'll be pretty well where we need to be, and then we'll go from there. So that would be just next step. Okay, then we'll be in touch.
Thank you for your being here, your attention, your commitment to this, and your questions. I think it's only through this process that it becomes not mine but yours. And so hopefully you've been provided some format for agreement, and hopefully it's a foundation for moving ahead.
I just want to say thank you. Phil and Diane, thank you. What I am so thrilled about is that they came in and took the time to go through our documents. That's something that internally we have all these documents, and the same they've done this with them, looked at all the historic documents, and then coming together to say, okay, this is what we've been told over the years, and then taking what, you know, where are we today? What do we take out of that as we move to the future? You've done that here to where it takes, like, in our comp plan that's massive, all the things that we said we're going to do, you got to narrow it down into some actionable things. And this helps us bring it into a manageable, how do we move forward? I think it's been, I really appreciate your attention to it and lending your expertise. Krista, thank you, because you've been the staff inside that's been, you know, kind of working with them and keeping it all going. So you've been working on the downtown side, helping us with this, getting to this. And then my hope is, personally, that we do this within D.C. I know that we, in the past, had an NDC. This is where we are. But I think because of the new members on the council, I think it's important that we take, this is what we said, this is what we've got, let the Cushlands pull it together, lend their expertise, because Phil's got, a career of working in urban renewal and thinking we need to have a good plan in the next 8 years for where we invest, what we invest, how much we invest, and then the report out too, because I would like to see the report out of financially where we are and our payoff dates and what date we think we're going to pay off based on this is how much we're investing in NDC.
2028.
But I would like to see a document that takes us the next 8 years or 6 years, whatever it's going to be, to pay off, that talks about that's this. And so I'm hoping that you guys will, when they come back in town, take a little bit of time and actually have the opportunity to accomplish. Then I would feel like we have a good plan. You've got your city plan, we've got the downtown plan, we've got the NDC plan. They all kind of work together.
And Mayor, I think that was discussed yesterday briefly when they were here.
Was it?
Prioritizing in the limited amount of years, since it sunsets in 2030,
yeah,
what needs to get done in that time period. Right. So we're not talking about 2040 now, we're more at NDC, we're mm-hmm. talking about 2030.
Right. And what is
right,
the...
Robin?
Yeah.
Am I correct? Okay.
And I'm really interested, what is the impact on the city? Now, the legislation can change, but depending on, based on, all we can look into our future is based on the legislation today. Not knowing what could change in this next few years, what is the impact of the city? And
but Mayor, as you heard most of us say, I know I've said, is we need, that's one big focus we need to be lobbying what's best for this city, but not only with the county. I think that collaboration is going to start happening with the state legislature. Mm-hmm. So I think we can have a real influence on that.
Agreed.
And that, to me, that's a priority.
Mm-hmm. And again, that falls back on the county, just some of the conversation we had yesterday of them thinking about a zero levy rate. Those type of whims, those type of ideas that are just floated are very detrimental to an urban renewal agency. So I think they're backing off on that, but I think that's a dialogue that's important that we have. But again, back to the urban renewal area sunsetting, in a sense, it'll stay active, but having it paid off in 2028, well, and actually something here we should focus on as a city is planning to take over the ownership of the library and parking structure. Because right now, the city could take ownership today because it's paid off. The obligation as far as collateral to the bonds is no longer there, so...
Except we would assume the maintenance costs and we don't have a budget for
it. The M&O.
But I'm just saying, there's going to be a point in time here in the near future where that's going to be a reality, that the city needs to, the burden of that will no longer be on the urban renewal agency.
it just needs to, the transition needs to happen when the tax base transitions.
Right, and that's
so
when,
that we have it. Yeah.
That's when all those tax dollars are going to flow into the city. So it's a good time to run for city council in 2028.
I tell you, though, listen to the legislature, and they say when you have the money, that's the hardest time because everybody's clamoring for it.
But right, yeah. Law enforcement especially.
Something just occurred to me. In effective governance, I don't know that we have a advocacy goal in there. We need an advocacy goal within effective governance because to govern effectively, we've got to be advocating. It's the legislative side, right? And so we probably need a statement. I'm not sure, unless I missed it, we may not have a statement regarding advocacy and the governance. And we probably need one.
There were a couple, both in terms of public transit and I think in terms of the changing to district elections, there was acknowledgement that there's a role to play in using your experience to revise the legislation. I think a general statement probably makes sense to include that in effect.
Yeah, the lobbying and that it's important to us to actually advocate on behalf of the city at both the county, state, and federal level.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay,
thank you. Great job. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Really appreciate it. Well, that concludes our agenda for today. You know what, guys? Thank you. We ran a little bit over. I really appreciate the opportunity. Thank you guys for coming. I appreciate that our planning and zoning different ones have been in and online. And this discussion is important and good, so thank you for that.
Good to work, Drew.
Yeah. So I would stand for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, guys.